Are you ready for the Word of God? Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Father, we submit this time to you. Father, speak to our spirit, not to our minds, but to our spirit. And let that which we hear, Father, we say now, we are grateful for that which we are about to hear, for it comes from you. Let everything that you are saying in this time be released and remain in our hearts, that we may take it forward for the enrichment of our lives and for the purposes of God. In the name of Jesus, we all said. All right, now we can start. Okay. So, what do I want to do this morning? So this morning, we're just going to have to see how it goes. Lots of things, which way do I go? I really feel sometimes, this morning is a remembrance morning. We remember what Christ did. So I felt it was important this morning to remind us of some things and challenge us in others at what Christ did it for. What did he release to us? Why did he do it? And what does he want us to step into beyond it? If there's ever a morning to remember those sorts of things, I think this is a good morning to do it. So this morning I'm going to be reading from a couple of different versions. I've come to enjoy the Amplified version of the Bible. Yeah. Now, I would absolutely not recommend that be your main source of text, because it's a long, it's a lot more words in that Bible, in that version. But it's in terms of a study aid, when you're trying to get into a little bit more depth, it is absolutely brilliant. And it's really enriched how I understand the Word, the context of certain scriptures. It's fabulous. So I would encourage you. Nowadays, it's amazing the amount of times I can actually forget. I don't know why. For some reason, I've got my Valentine's Day card from my wife and my Bible. So there we go. Oh, she's good to me. It's amazing. Sometimes I feel guilty that I don't always bring this everywhere with me now. And when I'm studying, because when I've got on my Bible app, I've got like every Bible version under the sun. So I can be looking at a scripture and I'm looking at four different versions in a click of a button. Thank God for technology. But it's still nice to have that paper sometimes. So this morning I'm going to read a scripture. We're going to go from 1 Corinthians. We're going to go on a bit of a journey around. So we'll go to and from this scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 4 to 9. So, are we there? I'll give you a second. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 to 9. So, in the Amplified version, it says this. It says, I thank my God always for you, because of the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, so that in everything you were exceedingly enriched in him, in all speech, empowered by the spiritual gifts, and in all knowledge with insight into the faith. In this way, our testimony about Christ was confirmed and established in you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift which comes from the Holy Spirit. As you eagerly wait with confident trust for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. And he will also confirm you to the end, keeping you strong and free of any accusation, so that you will be blameless and beyond reproach in the day of his promise, of his return. God is faithful. He is reliable, trustworthy, ever true to his promises. He can be depended upon. And through him, you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now that's a lot more than what I have in my NIV Bible. And it opened my eyes to a few things. So the first thing, I thank my God always for you because of the grace of God which was given to you in Christ Jesus. So Paul was thankful because of the grace that was given to them, not because of them. He wasn't thankful for them, but he specifically says, I am thankful to my God because of the grace that was given to you in Jesus. It's not, our, when a letter, oh, I'm so thankful for you, you're a great church, you're a great people, you do great things. He didn't mention any of those things. He was primarily thankful and he recognized the grace that was given to them. So when he looked at the people, he looked at them through a particular lens. He was thankful for what Christ had opened up for them through grace. Amen? It wasn't what they did or who they were. There was a remembrance and a recognition. But why? Because it is the grace of Christ given to us that is the source of not only our salvation, but our ability to access and accomplish the purposes of God that we have been set apart for. So it's okay, we can talk about what we did, what we this, what we that, who we are. No, what is it that defines us? What is it that we should be most, that we should be looking at? It's the grace that's been imparted into us. That Christ died so that we might be saved through grace. But not that we may be saved through grace, but that grace now is the very thing that enables us to fulfill his purposes. That the assignment on our lives is able to be fulfilled. Amen. Obviously, Pastor Tony's been talking about the source. Not sauce. Just wanted to. He's not here, so I can say that. It's not barbecue sauce. It's a sauce. But we can forgive him his Mancunianisms. And something I want to look at here. I thank my God always for you, because of the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, so that. And I want to pick up on these two words. There is always a so that in God. Nothing he ever does is without purpose. We must always be seeking what the so that is, so that our understanding of our faith and his purposes for our lives may become clear. Shall I give you a couple of examples of so that's in the word? You ready for this? Now, I'm just going to give you the scripture. You don't have to turn to them. So, 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Then, James, chapter 1, verse 4. And just to show it's not New Testament only, Joshua, chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. So, here's some so that's for you. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. James 1:4, let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Joshua, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until he had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when it dried up before until we had crossed it over. He did this so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. There is always a so that. And we must pay attention to the so that in what God is doing and what God is saying. If we lose sight of the so that, then we miss the lesson in the season. We miss the point of the trial. We can't embrace the process of maturity. We lose faith in the struggle and we remain ignorant of his ways. Amen. So that. There is always a so that. So when Paul says, I thank God always for you, for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, so that there's a purpose, there's a reason. Why is he thankful? Well, let's see what it says. So that in everything, say everything.
Everything.
You were exceedingly, say the word exceedingly.
Exceedingly.
Whenever I think of that word, I always think of Mr. Kipling, those exceedingly good cakes. So it's so that in everything you were exceedingly enriched. But enriched in what? enriched in him, in all speech, empowered by the spiritual gifts, and in all knowledge. So that in everything... See, I love the fact that God doesn't just give us this grace so that we can be happy. He doesn't just give it us so we can be stable. He gives it us to excess. That when God is lavishing something on us, he lavishes it on us in excess. He doesn't hold back. He's like the guy that just says, you know what? I'm taking my wife shopping today and there's no budget. There's no budget this morning. Just whatever shop you want to go to. Whatever shop you want to go to. Just take it. Louis Vuitton, no problem. Vidal Sassoon, get the, whatever you want to do with your hair. Get it all done. You want to go get some, whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. There's just excess. But it's not, it's excess that enriches our lives. So he exceedingly enriches us. I'm not saying husbands, wives, I'm not trying to say I'll go shopping. But the first place, there's three things. In him, in speech, and in knowledge. What's the first place we should be enriched? In him. In him. The first place we must be enriched in is in his presence. Psalm 84, 1 and 2, we heard it from Pastor Tony. He only used it last week. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Jesus came and brought grace to open up the ability for us to enter into his presence, that we might long, the same longing that we had when the heavens weren't open. Now we can, he wants us to use the same longing, but this time we now are able to enter into the Holy of Holies. And we are able to be transformed. But why are we transferred? Why do we start in his presence? So that in all speech, and I want to pick up on this point here that I only saw because of the Amplified Version. In all speech, empowered by the spiritual gifts. And all knowledge with insight into the faith. Christ is the access point through grace. His presence exceedingly enriches our spirit, then enriches our knowledge of him, which then informs and enriches everything we say. The grace of Christ was not just so that we can be happy in heaven. There is an enrichment that takes us into the spirit, the presence of God, to receive the Spirit of God that enables us to know the God and therefore able we reflect who he is. And then we see the next part. In this way, our testimony about Christ was confirmed and established in you. Now, when I read my version online on the NIV, it just says, our testimony was confirmed among you. But it's not among you. In this way, our testimony about Christ was confirmed and established in you. It's not among us. It's not a, by the way, you know, here's this, give any example you want. You know, by the way, last week I bought a watch. Okay, where's the watch? Here's the watch. Oh, okay, you've now confirmed that story's true. It's not a, just so you know, Christ died and that Christ rose again. Oh, okay, thanks very much. There is an establishment that has to happen within us. So that, now we get to our second so that. So in this way, our testimony of Christ was confirmed and established in you so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift. So again, we see spiritual gift. As you eagerly await our Lord Jesus and his return. Why is that important? Why twice have we now seen spiritual gifts? Especially with speech. He wants us to have this testimony of Christ, this grace of Christ in us, that we may be enriched in Him, have knowledge of Him, and that our speech be expressed through the empowerment of the spiritual gifts, in order that we do not lack any spiritual gift. So, let's have a look at the spiritual gifts. Let's remind ourselves. There are different kinds of gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, if you don't know where it is, verses 4 to 11. 1 Corinthians 12, 4, 11. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in every one, it is the same God at work. What I love about this is, and I've heard it many times, there's this debate about spiritual gifts. This debate of only certain gifts, you can only have, well, they can do that, but I can't do that. They can only do that, but no one else can do that. You know, my Bible tells me that. But in all of them, and in every one, the Spirit works in us. So we all have the ability to have a measure of the gifts given to us by Christ. So first thing you want, if you want to take anything away, you are not disqualified from any of the spiritual gifts. Just the measure is that which we must find out. Let's carry on. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of that same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. And all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And He distributes them to each one as He determines. Spiritual gifts empower us to express the grace released to us through Christ, to equip us to reveal the heart and thoughts coming from the Father, so that those who know Him might be strengthened, and those who don't might be saved. Amen. Why are spiritual gifts so important? Because spirituals are what the Bible is saying, and the question I want to ask of you is this. In your speech, can we find the spiritual gifts? Because the word is saying that this grace was given to you so that you may be enriched in Him. But that in all of your speech, it is empowered by the spiritual gifts. So therefore, by logic, if our speech is not being empowered by the spiritual gifts, then are we tapping into the enrichment which God has opened for us? By what Spirit are we talking? By what knowledge are we speaking? By what authority are we talking, speaking? And when you look at this, in almost every single one of those gifts, speech is required. So to one, there is the message of wisdom. How do you tell someone wisdom? You could argue, well, I could write it down. You can write it down, fair enough, that's a form of speech. But most of the time, you've got to speak to someone about. You've got to reveal wisdom to somebody. Then there is the message of knowledge. Well, we've just heard. What kind of knowledge? The knowledge that informs our faith in the presence of God. The knowledge is that which, when we are enriched in His presence, then there is a specific kind of knowledge that comes out. And there is a specific kind of knowledge that must be expressed in our speech. And it's a gift. And there's a measure that we must attain. Let's look at the next one. To another. Faith. We all have faith. How do I know I have faith? Yes, by what I do, but I must also declare my faith. I must live by faith, and that means at some point I've got to tell someone about my faith. Amen? Amen. To another, the gifts of healing by that one Spirit. Anyone pray for someone for healing without opening the mouth? God gave us a mouth on purpose. Otherwise, I could just go up to Dave and go, oh, I should have heard that prayer. That was awesome, that. Oof, heaven was speaking then. You have no idea, do you? And neither does he. I have to open my mouth to see healing come forth when I lay my hands on someone, or even just to proclaim healing on something. Is this making sense now? We've seen this. To another, miraculous powers. You see, what I love about some of the spiritual gifts is they're not overly specific. The spiritual gifts are not overly... What does miraculous powers mean? Are we talking about the Avengers? You know, is it Hulk? Is it the inner Hulk in us that goes and bashes evil spirits? You know, is it we, you know, some of us are going to be, we've got the crossbow, some of us are like Superman, we can go to the sun. What is it? What is miraculous powers? Miraculous powers, the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing about our God is he, when he creates us in our uniqueness and the diversity of the many graces that are here that we are being given, these gifts are vague enough in order to accommodate the individuality that has been given to you. Because if it said, if it was so specific, it gives no room for the differences in people. So only one kind of person can have a miraculous power because it's specific to this. If miraculous powers was, you can move a mountain from... With the faith of a mustard seed, we know the scripture. If you move a mountain into the sea, I would say that's miraculous. But if the Bible said that some may have the gift of moving mountains, shifting around geography, okay, then there we go. Well, I haven't got that grace because I can't move mountains. But it doesn't say that. It says miraculous powers. There is a message of wisdom. It doesn't say what that wisdom is. There is a message of knowledge. It doesn't say what that is. Why? Because heaven wants you to know that you have to seek him to understand what comes out of you. That my speech must be an expression of a gift, but how do I know what that expression is without the knowledge of my faith and without the enrichment of being in his presence? Amen. To another, prophecy. Prophecy we declare. To still another, the interpretation of tongues. Well, if you interpret tongues, you've got to let someone know what those tongues are. To discern between spirits. We'll come on to that in a minute. But all these are the work of one and the same Spirit as he distributes them as he chooses, as he determines. And so my head was just like, I have to ask myself the question, how much of my speech is empowered by the spiritual gifts? What, if any of them, are operating in my life? And we come back and it says to the original scripture in 1 Corinthians, it says, and he will also confirm you to the end, to keeping you strong and free, so that you will be blameless and beyond reproach in the day. Because we are on a journey. We are on a pilgrimage, and these gifts are to sustain our speech, our knowledge, our actions, to point us towards one place that we keep going to, the place called finish. This is not a temporary, in this season, you knew your spiritual gifts. We have to see that it was so important that Paul told the Corinthians that God does not want you to lack any spiritual gifts, because if you lack the spiritual gifts, then you lack the grace and the gifts given to you that Christ opened up for you. Christ opened up the heavens and made the bridge in order to give us access to this. Amen. We are celebrating Christ, but what did he do? Why did he do it? We have grace, not just so that we can be saved, but so that we have access into a whole new ability, a whole new world. So that, we must know the so that and why the spiritual gifts are not just something we use intermittently. They are there to be with us from now until the end. On our journey of pilgrimage, we will remain strong and blameless if we keep hold of the purpose of and possess the gifts freely opened. So we have to, because remember, their testimony was, what was that testimony that they said? It was confirmed and established in them. This morning, we must know that the gifts of the Spirit must be confirmed and established within us. Because without it, these gifts, our pilgrimage, can be delayed or abandoned. Because the very thing God has given to us to do his will is something we don't have access to. If it's not established in your life, we haven't got access to it. If we haven't got access to it, we cannot do the things that God is asking us to do. We cannot see, we cannot have the enrichment. You know, when I think of the word, when I've been enriched, it has so many diverse ways. But when I see enrichment, it gives me fulfillment in every part of my life. When my life is enriched, everything I could want has been added into me. That is why we have access to his presence, because in his presence, everything we need for life and godliness has been given to us. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? And in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have received, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. So that, we may understand what God has freely given to us. Explaining spiritual realities with spirit-taught words. How do we express spiritual realities? We release the spiritual gifts through who we are. The spiritual gifts of releasing wisdom. Releasing wisdom. Releasing knowledge. Releasing faith into the atmosphere. Releasing healing into the atmosphere. Releasing miraculous signs and wonders in the atmosphere. You know, Jesus didn't heal the water and turned it into wine, but wine it turned into for a purpose. There is a spiritual reality that God is trying to freely give us and express. It's the spiritual gifts that enable us to express this spiritual reality with spirit-taught words. Why words? Because we know the thoughts of God. Something that's been consuming my heart all week. How much of the thoughts of God do I know? How much am I assuming or guessing at what God thinks? Because the knowledge that we are to be enriched by is knowledge in the faith. Who is the author of our faith? Who is the one who gives us truth? Who is the one who is the way, the truth, the life? We must come back. God gave his all that he was, and Colossians tells us God gave everything that he was and quite happily put it into Christ. Amen? So that when Christ died and then God sent the Spirit of God into our lives, and his one job is to lead us into Christ, who has the entirety of the Godhead inside of him. All expression, all knowledge, all wisdom, all power, all authority, it's in Christ. And who is the Word? That's why you cannot read this Word without the Spirit of God. Because without the Spirit of God, you can't know the thoughts of God. And when I read the Spirit, when I read the Word of God, I'm reading Jesus, because he is the Word. So if I don't, if I see this as a book and hopefully it will lead me, no, this is Jesus. I am holding Jesus in my hands. And that's why the Spirit has to be inside of us in order for us to know the thoughts that these words give to us. In order that the knowledge of God may be established in us, so therefore our speech can be expressed through the ways that God has given us to express it. And he has given us clear gifts in which to do so. Is anyone else getting this? Come on. Sorry, I know. I'm a little bit... I was there till midnight last night going, I'm just excited. But here's the challenge. See, one of the things that the Spirit, it talks about discerning between spirits. You know what most of us have the biggest trouble doing? It's not determining, you know, is the spirit of the enemy working here? Is the spirit of that? Is this legion? Is this that? No, it's what is the Spirit of God and what is the spirit of man? What is me and what is not me? That so many times is what we worry and we spend all our time trying to define. But it's because we have missed the step that says I must be enriched in his presence. Because when I'm enriched in his presence with the Spirit of God given to me, I can know his thoughts. But we spend so much time consumed and worried and pondering over, is it me? Is it not me? And you know, I'll come to that in a minute. But I feel that this, I want to give an example of. There's something really, really, really hit me. So, would you go turn your Bibles to Matthew 16? It's a well-known scripture. You'll all know it. Matthew 16. Who do you say I am? Just while you're there, pause there. You know, in that Corinthians 1:2-11, it says that those who are led by the Spirit can discern these things. Those who are of the spirit of man, they reject these things as foolishness. And so many times, we reject, maybe not consciously, maybe not deliberately, but because we have not created the environment and the foundation in our lives to we've not been in the place to be enriched long enough in his presence, that we turn away from the word and knowledge of God. Because our untrained minds have misunderstood what is him and what is the spirit of the world. It's what creates so many divisions. The reason why Paul was writing this letter was because he'd heard word about the Corinthians disagreeing with one another. I follow him, I'm not going to do that, I believe this, I don't believe that. And that is, whether you want to put that on a personal place or whether you want to put that in a house, this is what derails so many Christians' pilgrimage, because there is this fundamental lack of understanding of what God's voice sounds like. And that should be a concern for the whole church. And we see it in the modern church, how many incredible events have taken place over the last few years, and yet there doesn't seem to be anyone telling us what the voice of God is saying. What are God's thoughts on the matter? And that is a sad indictment of the fact that this scripture has not been heeded. That this remembrance of why Christ opened the door, what he opened up to us, and what access that has given to us. We might know it, but it's like we don't use it. But let's look at the next bit. Jesus answered him in Matthew 16, verse 17 to 19. Blessed. I won't read the full, I'm reading the Amplified version because I want to specifically show something. Blessed, happily, spiritually secure, favoured of God by God, are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood, mortal man, did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Now, what's the next part of the scripture? What you bind will be... Right. Let me read what this bit... There's a key fundamental shift in how we read this scripture. It says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind will have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will have already been loosed in heaven. There is a fundamental shift in how that makes you think about it. Now, if you think about it logically, we are in time, are we not? We are fixed in time. We're not time travelers. We are fixed in the time that we are in. But God is eternal. So how does the finite dictate to the infinite? Because God is out of time, right? He's not controlled by time. So therefore, that which was set in eternity was already set before the earth was created, right? So when we're asking God, and this is the fundamental, we are asking God, please bind this. Please bind this. He's going, I've already bound it. It was already bound. Why are you asking me to bind something that I've already bound? And why are you asking me to bind something that I've already given you the authority to bind? And when he says, oh Lord, please loose this. Why are you asking for something I've already loosed? It's already done. We keep asking the wrong questions. Now here's an example for my life where I go, there is something that isn't quite right. And I don't think it's God. So when I was over Christmas, as many people did, we got COVID. Our family got COVID over Christmas. So in between Christmas and New Year. So it's like that wonderful thing of all our plans were all completely scuppered. So no parties for Paul or anyone else. So I wasn't just not inviting you to a party, by the way, when we were at New Year. I couldn't leave the house. So we were stuck in the house. Jake had COVID, Em had COVID, I had COVID. So it was just one of those things. But during that period between Christmas and New Year, Jacob had started having really severe nosebleeds. And they weren't a little bit. They weren't 10 minutes, they weren't 15 minutes, they were an hour and a half. They were just... It was like a horror movie when you look. I mean, we literally had to, just the amount of toilet roll we went through, the amount of blood that was, I'm not going to go to it, but it was horrible. I mean, we all know sometimes things can look worse, you know, a nosebleed, you look at, because it all spreads out with the tissue, but this was quite concerning. And it wasn't, because if many parents will go, sometimes teens just go through phases where you have nosebleeds, and it's, they're out for 20 minutes, half an hour, you sort it out, and then it's okay. But this was day after day after day after day after day. And then he would literally kind of like, he'd think it had stopped, and then he'd just kind of just take, there's a little bit of something stuck in there, a little clot, take it out, and it starts gushing again. It was constant. We were on the phone to the hospital, but you can't go to the hospital because you got COVID. So it's like, oh, great, oh, brilliant. And okay, that's fine. Okay. Well, not fine, because now I'm starting to worry. Because he's getting weaker every day, because obviously he's losing blood, and it's one of those things where you go, when is this going to stop? So New Year's night, or New Year's Eve to New Year's Day, this was a particularly bad one, and it was one where it took us about 45 minutes to an hour to get it to stop, and it was gushing, and then he had a claw, he took it out, and it went again. It took us about 3 in the morning to get it all done and dusted. So he went up to sleep, and the Holy Spirit woke me up in the morning and said, go and lay your hands on your son. So I heard the thoughts of God. I got up. I went into his room. I said, Jake, can I pray for you? Yes, Dad. I laid my hand on him. He has not had a nosebleed since. Amen. Immediate. Stop. Okay. 2 days ago, Joshua has been having high temperature, kiddie sickness, full of a cold, all of that. And there was one time where it was when kids get to that stage where they're just crying because they're so unhappy and they don't know what to do, and as a parent you just feel so helpless, right? So what did I do? I laid my hands on him to pray for healing. Nothing happened. So what do I make of these two events? A, does God love Jake more than Joshua? B, do I have a grace for nosebleeds, but not a grace for the common cold? C, is God inconsistent and sometimes his power works, but like a dodgy socket or a dodgy cable, it doesn't always work? Or is possibly something to do with me? Because if the power isn't the problem, if the authority of heaven isn't the problem, if the fact that heaven has already provisioned it isn't the problem, if the fact that God's love is not the problem, then it can only lead to me. So there's something I've not stepped into and established. Now what happened? The Holy Spirit invaded my world and brought me his thoughts so that I would go in obedience and lay my hands on my son, and healing came. The difference is I am not consistently pursuing the thoughts of God to say I want to keep expressing that which I've seen with my own eyes be established. So it's not established in me. So the speech is not established in me. The thoughts of God are not established in me, because and I'm not actively using what I've been given and what I've been authorized to do in order to see it happen. And often we think that it's God, or it's just us, or it's just, it's not my grace, it's not this, so I don't do it. No, it's because we have not recognized that we have to keep on being enriched in his presence. We have to keep searching the mind of God in order to know his thoughts, and therefore how, through these gifts, we are to release what heaven is dying to release. He's looking for a house, for a people who will say, blessed are you, Saint Peter, because this was not released to you by man, it was given to you by God. So there is a person here that he calls his rock. What kind of person is his rock? A person who is established in his presence, enriched by his presence, now has access to the knowledge of the thoughts of God, and is now able, through those two things, to be able to release the life of God in whatever expression he has given to us. It sounds like I want you to go away with going, I'm the problem. It's not the problem. It's that, have we reminded Christ? See, but this is what I love. Look, go to Psalm 85, 84. Get back to Psalm 84, verse 5 to 7. We're nearly at the end now. So Psalm 84, verses 5 to 9. In my NIV Bible, and in a couple of other versions of the Bible, so it's not just, I'm not trying to say anything. See, I love how the different versions of the Bible don't contradict each other. They just bring just by looking at the difference, bring a greater clarity. They don't actually contradict one another. Just want to make that clear. But when we read this scripture, and we've read it many times, blessed are, so in verse 5 to 7, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. Yeah? As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. And they go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. In the Amplified verse, it says, blessed and greatly favored is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways of Zion. Are the highways, plural, of Zion. What is meant to flow out of us? Streams of... Okay. Was it a stream or was it streams? Streams of living water. Why is it streams? Because there are many dimensions in God. That's why there are highways. There is only one way to Him, but there are different dimensions in God and of God. So what He wants, the rock, the people that we are looking to, the church He's building upon, are those who have gone into the place called Zion. They've gone into the heavenly Jerusalem, and we have been exposed and enriched and have knowledge of the different dimensions of God. So that therefore, through those different dimensions, they need different expressions. And in those different expressions, there is a stream of living water. So that is why we haven't just got a spiritual gift. We have spiritual gifts. Because there are different ways to express the different dimensions of God. He is looking for those whose hearts are the dimensions of Zion, the highways of Zion, in order that while we are here, we are able to express the many dimensions of God through the different gifts of God. And that is why we are made differently. That is one of the reasons He gives us our uniqueness. So that everyone, there is a gift, there is a grace, there is an ability for you to express uniquely what God has given to you to do. It's so incredible that the gifts are structured in such a way that they do not discount anyone. So I want you to know that when you look at the gifts, you have to, I am not discounted from any of it. I might have a strength in one particular area more than the other, but my question to you is, do you know what your strength and grace is? Do you know of these graces, of these gifts, which are the streams that come freely to you? And if not, then we say, then I am the blockage for the streams of living water and the dimensions of God to be released on the earth. Yeah. Jesus came so that we would have access to all of these things. And then the church that He built, He chose Peter, because Peter was the one that said, I've seen it. I've entered into the presence of God. There was something about Peter's attitude. There was something about Peter's devotion in the way, even though Peter was an absolute idiot at times. Which is good to know, because so am I. And so are we at times. So despite this oof of a man, his heart was pure, his heart was set on pilgrimage, and his heart was, whose heart are the highways to Zion. And so he can, passing through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. That's why we don't have to worry about what desert's in front of us, because we already have the ability to make it a spring. Because the dimensions of heaven are the streams of living water that want, through the spiritual gifts and our speech, able to make it a place of plenty, able to make it a place of fruit, able to make it a place of life. And they go from strength to strength in increasing victorious power. The word that Lisa gave this morning was victory. As we carry on this, we move forward in increasing victorious power, because we go from glory to glory to glory as we are enriched in His presence, as we are able to discern the thoughts of God through the Spirit of God living within us. Amen? Amen? And it's just, guys, we've got to... I just feel that there's a shift that once we can get this, this house is going to break loose. This house is going to break loose. I feel it. That is that it's if we there's this shift that when I realize that everything, I'm not having to ask God, please will you bind something? Please will you lose something? He's going, when you ask me as if you don't know, it's because you don't know. You don't know what I've already loosed. You don't know what I've already bound. You don't know what I've already said. So my job is, so when sometimes when you're asking for something, you're praying for someone, and it's not happening, then guess what? Maybe God's saying to you, this is your opportunity. It's time to come back into my presence because there's something you don't know. And once you do know it, it can become established and confirmed in you, and then you're able to express it in like you couldn't before. What we do as Christians is we try and then we just either accept, well, we don't know why God doesn't do it. No, most of the time when God doesn't do it is because there's something we haven't established within us. There's something that we need. Now, we know that there are times when there's the mystery of God. We know there is. But I would bet my house and everything I own on that is not the majority of the times. You know why? Because when the apostles were laying their hands, they didn't talk about bucketfuls of people walking out not healed, did they? Peter's shadow. People line people up in the streets just to catch his shadow. Because there was something that he carried. There was something that was established. There was an enrichment that was just oozing out of him. And it had many different formats. It had many different expressions. But either way, it all led to one place. It's God. Amen. And this is the house that God wants us to become. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. We have come to the thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn. That's what Christ has given to us. We are the church of the firstborn. Whose names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. No wonder it's a place of joy. No wonder it's a joyful assembly. We're all saved. You have come to God, the judge of all the spirits of righteous men made perfect. We're being made perfect, but only when we are enriched by his presence. And our thoughts are being changed and conditioned and set in his. The prayer that I've started to pray more and more is, God, I only want your thoughts. Because my thoughts get me in trouble. My thoughts cause me anxiety. My thoughts cause me worry. My thoughts cause me to doubt. My thoughts cause me to hate. My thoughts cause me to become angry. My thoughts cause me many different things. So can I please have your thoughts? Yes. We have to be conditioned that my mind is no longer my own. We have to release it. You know, when we that song, I give you everything. The scripture we wrote at the start of is that the grace of God was given to us in Christ so that in everything we may be enriched. We are releasing everything to him in order that we may be enriched by him. Jesus, the mediator of this covenant, the reason our spirits have been made perfect in his presence, the reason we are now part of a joyful assembly. And then lastly, in 1 Peter 4, 10-11, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. How do you speak the very words of God? You must know the mind and the thoughts of God. And therefore, when you speak the very thoughts of God, which he gives us through his word, he gives us through direct engagement in his presence, then the power of those words are established. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Christ Jesus. Come on, let's just stand to our feet together.